So happy Father's Day. And I'm going to try and be brief as it relates to Father's Day. Let me say this. I love saying this because I believe it's true. I know it's true. God gives the best gifts. God gives the best gifts. Amen. And what are those gifts? First and foremost, they are people. They are relationships. Amen. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Ephesians 4:11, and the Lord gave some apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the work of the ministry. The Lord, what did he give? He gave people. What, Genesis 4:1, Eve said, I have acquired a man from the Lord, is what she said. She said that it came from God. Amen. The Bible says that God looked at Adam and saw that it was not good that he was alone. So what did God do? He made a woman and he brought her to the man. What did God give Adam? He gave him a woman. He gave him a person. God gives us people. Okay? He gives us people. He makes fathers out of men. He makes mothers out of women. What does he do? He gives them children, people. God, now, I know there's all kinds of people. They want a new house. They want this. They want that. Want everything under the sun. While, now, there's nothing wrong with needing something. Nothing wrong with a need. God will meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory. But what God has given us is one another. What he's given us is one another. So, I think that it embodied in that is the first and the second commandment. First commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is like unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And in those two commandments, the Lord is talking about loving a person. Loving the people that he has put within our lives. And I'm not talking theoretically. I'm talking about over the years I have prayed not a whole lot for things, but I've mentioned to the Lord, be nice to have a bigger house some years ago as the children were coming up and growing. And we've been in the same house since 1998. Apparently the Lord said, no, you're all right. You're all right. To which now I say, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you. That showing me that you are right. We're all right, right where we are. Why? Because our children mean more to us than a house ever could. Mean more to us than a house ever could. And sometimes you need to be right up on each other. Sometimes you need to be close up on each other. Well, today we're going to celebrate that our Heavenly Father has given us earthly fathers. A month ago or so, maybe a month and a half ago, I was sitting here before Tori. Tori had to be away, I believe, that day. And I was playing the keyboard, if you call it playing. But I was doing my best. And my phone was being blown up with people calling. And I'm looking at the thing. And this little girl that I taught to ride a bike when she was, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, 10. I don't know how old she was. Who's now a teacher in a local school, was calling me while I was playing the keyboard. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, now, why is she calling? And come to find out later, I'm pregnant, and I need to tell my father, and I don't know how he's going to react. Would you pray for me? That's why she was calling. I can't remember the last time I talked to this little girl, because she's still a little girl in my mind, right? So she's a grown woman. And prayed with her. I said, yeah, okay, we went to pray and all, and that all happened. 2 weeks ago, I'm preaching like I am now. And another little girl was calling, blowing my phone up, called 5 times while I was preaching. I'm looking at my watch while I'm preaching. I'm like, what is this? After church, I call her and she says, well, where are you? I was like, okay, daughter. Yeah, sure. I, you know, I was like, well, I was in church. I was preaching. He's like, well, okay. Did you see me call? Yeah, I saw you call it, but I couldn't answer. But life had got a little bit too hard. Life had got a little bit too hard. And this individual needed some help, needed some counsel. And that's why she was calling. 20-some years ago, God put those people in our lives, in particular in me and my family's life. Put those two individuals in our lives. And, you know, the question becomes this, what did we do with them? What did I do with them? And I say that because both of these two little girls at the time, they had fathers, but their fathers, you know, were struggling. Their fathers were struggling. And we just did what we could to love on people. But you never know why God has put the people that are in your life, why has he put them there? Why has he put them there? Now, basically what I want to share as I go through this, fathers, you've heard messages all your life about how to be a good father and what people expect on. And I don't think I can add anything new to it. It's just, we just need to be obedient to what we know to be true concerning scripture. But I believe that a deeper, more impactful message would not be do this, do this, do this, do this, and all the mechanics of being a father. But when the Father reveals himself to you, now, when the Father loves you, and then you go love your children that way, not only your children, but love any other child that the Father's love would touch. You know, when the people brought little children up to Jesus for him to lay his hands on them and pray for them, the disciples rebuked them and said, no, leave him alone. And Jesus rebuked them and said, no, let them bring the little children to me, for such is the kingdom. So let the children come. So not only do we father our children, but to the extent that God has brought people into our lives that we can love on and treat with the Father's love. Come on. God who is Father. I'm not going to say God who is a Father. He is Father. And every other Father, in whatever context or application we may have it, it comes from his fatherhood. He is Father, right? God, who is Father, breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. And so God gave himself to Adam first. What it means, because what is it? Genesis chapter 5, Adam, as it goes through the genealogy, it says the last one is Adam, the son of God. Why? In what context? Obviously, because God birthed him. God brought him forth. God breathed into his nostrils and he became a living being. So as it relates to God as being Father, God fathered us in by way of breathing and bringing us forth by giving us himself. The Bible says he blew into Adam's nostrils. And that wind, that breath, that spirit, God who is spirit, breathed into Adam, and that flesh had God's spirit come into it, and it birthed or brought forth Adam's spirit. So God fathered Adam that way. Amen. And so he brought him forth. So God gave himself to us first. That's what it means. God gave himself to us first. So to father means to give oneself, as God gave himself and brought forth Adam. So then we as fathers, obviously, we give ourselves to our children. And what we give to them shapes, and as the Bible says, Adam was created in the image of God. Then when we see someone's children and we look at the father, we will see the image of the father in the child. Why? If the father truly gives himself, God blew into what was in God. Now, figuratively now, because God is a spirit, right? He's not flesh, right? But he blew into Adam, and what was in God went into Adam and created a man. And so as we as fathers, as we breathe, so to speak, as we pour ourselves into our children, our image is going to be reflected in them. Okay? So God didn't stop there. So he created Adam. And then, as I said earlier, God then brought Eve and he blew into her nostrils. Would have been the same thing, right? He blew into her and then he brought her to the man. Amen. Ladies, God is in the process of bringing you to your bowl, to your man. So don't be worried. Can I get an amen? God, thank you for it. God is in the process of bringing you, Eve, to your Adam. But then God didn't stop there. Amen. And yeah, look here. Amen. And then God gave Adam and Eve. He didn't stop with just giving them to one another, but he gave to them a son named Cain. So we see the process of God. He gave himself to Adam. He gave Eve to Adam. He gave to Adam and Eve, Cain, and all their children. So we see God giving the best gifts. Eve said in Genesis 4:1, I've acquired a man from the Lord. And then further down in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 12, God chose a couple that was in dire straits. You know, God loves choosing people who have no means. And then somebody, well, I qualify. God loved, no, really, he chose Abraham and Sarah. He was so old, he was physically, reproductive. He had no power. He was good as dead, the Bible says. Sarah, not only was she old, but she was barren. And then God chose Isaac and Rebecca was barren. Then he chose Jacob and Leah and Rachel, and Leah and Rachel were barren. I mean, anybody qualified? But what did God do for Abraham and Sarah? He gave them a son. His name was Isaac. A true gift, seeing that it was impossible for them to have a child. God, who is Father, that word Father means chief or principal. He makes fathers of men and mothers of women. And this is what I find interesting, is that God is who God is now. He's always been. Why? Because God does not change, the Bible says. He's immutable. In other words, he's unchangeable. His character, his nature never changes. So when Jesus said, I've come to show you the Father, we may think, okay, God's revealing himself to us as Father because so we can understand, because we have fathers and now we can understand Father. When you talk about God as Father, no, that's not why God said he's Father. Not true. Not so, because so that we can associate it with being with natural fathers. No, he has from eternity. He's been Father. From everlasting to everlasting. Right. He is Father. Isaiah chapter 9. And verse 6, we read, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. God didn't become a father when he made Adam a father. God has always been Father. He's always been. And a father like you cannot imagine. All right. He revealed himself to Israel through Christ as Father. God, Yahweh, Jehovah of the Old Testament, revealed himself through Christ as Father to Israel. Remember? And what did they do? They killed him for it. Yeah, they killed him for it. Because they could not know God as Father. They would keep saying, well, Abraham is our father. We're the seed of Abraham. And Jesus would say in John chapter 8, if you were Abraham's seed, you wouldn't be trying to kill me. He said, no, you have a father, but it's not Abraham. He said, your father is the devil. I was like, oh, man. And some people think we preach, No, we don't preach hard today. Get up in Jesus. Roll up on him. He'll have him tell you. No, your father is the devil, for his works is that's what you do. Right. So Israel killed Jesus because Christ revealed the Father. And more importantly, or because he said he was one with him. Right. And Israel just couldn't handle that. So we see here that the Son reveals the Father. The Son is called Everlasting Father. So we see the oneness there. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the Son, his name, also is Everlasting Father. So the Son reveals the Father, who has always been and always will be Father. If we want to father well and understand the heart of the Father, we must look at the Son. Right? Why? Because the Father is spirit. God is spirit. Jesus said this. Love this verse. I and my Father are one. Jesus' disciples didn't get it in John chapter 14. Philip said, Jesus, show us the Father and it will suffice. Show us who he is, and then we'll understand. We'll quit. And Jesus said, Philip, have I been so long with you, and you still don't understand? If you have seen me, you've seen my Father. Now, we understand the picture of that. We get that, you know. I forget where Justin and I was. It also happened with Tori. And now we walked into a gas station down on 95 going to North Carolina one day or something. And it was early in the morning. We were hungry trying to go get a hamburger or something. Amen. And we walked in and I remember walking around the corner and Tori went one way. I went another way. And the guy, he come around. He said, man, that's got to be your daughter over there. I was like, okay. All right. Same thing happened with Justin. Same thing. People said, there ain't no question about this. I'm like, okay, that's good. Amen. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. In other words, the Father is revealed in no other way but through the Son. The Father is revealed in no other way but through the Son. And right now, if you wanted to know me, if you wanted to know me and I wasn't here, who would you go to? You go back there, right? Okay. So Jesus comes and reveals the Father, and he says it even more plain. He says this in Matthew 11:27, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. This is some of what I was pointing to when I was sharing during worship, is that the Father is revealing himself through his Son. And I feel like especially in these times, and I'm sure in every generation, there are those times when so many things want to hijack the church. So many things are coming in and want our allegiance, want our attention. And right now, the whole political scene, everything politics, wants to grab the attention of the church and wrench our allegiance away from Christ onto politics. And we must be careful. We can't let it happen. Why? Because the revelation of the Father is so much greater. Amen. So what I want to show you is that the Father is the foundation and motivation in the teachings of Jesus Christ. The Father is the foundation and motivation of the teachings of Jesus Christ. Now, we know these scriptures. We've seen them. We read them all the time. But what I want to just simply emphasize is the Father's place in Jesus' own teaching. Look at Luke chapter 6. Jesus said, but love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. Do we do that? I'm going to give this person something and I'm never going to ask for it back. Watch this. He says, and your reward will be great, and your sons, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind. In other words, what Jesus told them to do was based upon this. For he, who? The Father. For he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. He is kind, to the unthankful and the evil. So when someone is unthankful or evil toward us, what Jesus would have us to know through the revelation of the Father, through us seeing the Father, is that the Father will reward you. And that we don't look for vengeance. For vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay, right? But we look to the Father. We look to the Father in our suffering. And he said, in this way, he says, you will be like your Father. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. So when Jesus came and he had disciples coming around him and being with him, he pointed their attention to the Father. And he let them know that the Father, the reason why I'm teaching you to respond this way to the unthankful and the evil is because your Father's merciful. And then he just didn't tell them. He would go out and model it. So there were 10 lepers who saw Jesus afar off, and they lifted up their voices. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, the Bible says, they were totally healed from head to toe. One turned around and went back and said, thank you. Jesus said, were there not 10 healed, but where are the 9? And then the thought crossed my mind, but he did not take his healing back. Even though they were unthankful, Jesus still healed them. And there are unthankful people, there are wicked people, there are evil people today. And we have to be careful, because Christians can begin to want to get on them, get after them. And I've heard, you know, I told you, a pastor out in Arizona, a pastor in his pulpit said, we need to line up homosexuals and shoot them point blank in the back of the head. We need to execute homosexuals. And I saw that. I said, dear God. So one of two things is happening. Either he is born again. How? I have no idea. Because 1 John 3, I believe it says, no murderer has eternal life dwelling in him. Or he's in a pulpit and he does not know God. He's not born again. But yet he said that. How could someone associate in any way with Christianity, with Christ, want to kill somebody? No, it cannot be. Why? Because the Father is merciful. He's merciful to the evil and to the unthankful. Well, I didn't put this one up there. I'll mention it. We'll get to it at the end, though. But in Matthew chapter 6, that's the Lord's Prayer. After the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said this, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So forgiveness of others is based upon the Father's forgiveness of us. A Christian who cannot forgive is an oxymoron. That diametrically opposed. Matter of fact, it cannot be. It should not be. Because a Christian, by definition, is a person who is forgiven. And if you are forgiven freely, you have received, so freely give. Right? We're talking about what it means to be the Father's. We're talking about not only an earthly father, but to have the Father's heart and to do his will. Because that's what the Son came to show us. He came to reveal to us the Father. So in Matthew 6:16, we read Jesus speaking again. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting, that they may appear to men to be fasting, that they may appear to men to be fasting. A lot of this teaching that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 5 and 6, Luke and other places, had the religious of their day were doing what they did in the sight of other people. They wanted to be, it's like our day with clicks, likes, viral videos. People do things because they want, did you see how many people, what am I care about? Who's what does God think? What, are you pleasing God in what you're doing? Assuredly I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father. But to your Father. So when we get up tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning, go back to work, we do that in the sight of our Father. When we get cut off in traffic and the person really gets on our nerves, we remember the Father who's merciful to the unthankful and the evil. When people say things and do things, we live in the sight of our Father. Our attention and our gaze is fixed on heaven, fixed on our Father, knowing that our Father will reward us. I'll never forget walking through Tyson's Corner years ago, and it was really busy in one of the places where all the places, like a court. It was a court. And we were walking through, and someone had a bag, and they were eating. And this person balled up the bag and just threw it on the floor. Just threw it on the floor. And right behind that person who threw it on the floor was a, if I remember right, it seemed like it was an Asian, or Filipino, something East Asian or what have you. I can't remember, but from the looks. This woman did not miss a beat. As soon as the bag hit the floor, she just went right down on her knees, picked it up, and kept on walking, and took it and put it in a trash can. And people's eyes were fixed on this woman. I know mine's were. This woman, it was like she didn't even think about it. She just did a redemptive act. She did what was good. She did what the person should have done. Right. And deposited that. And I was like, wow. Now, I'm sure she didn't do it to be seen because she didn't have time to think about it, but she did it. And what we are to do, there'll be times when we don't even have time to think, but because we know that the Father is merciful, because we know he's kind and he's living in us, that we in kind are going to be merciful. Right. We're going to be gentle with people and not respond the way the world would have us respond. Not seek glory from the world. Not seek man's attention. Now, Jesus goes on. Back to Matthew chapter 5. Jesus said, you heard that it was said. This is the companion passage to Luke chapter 6. You heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Someone would say, Pastor, that's for the first century church. That doesn't apply to us. Or does it? Do you have enemies? Yeah. We all have enemies. You don't think so? Just hang on. Just hang on. I was reading this morning because I love going for walks, and I decided not to buy a gun because I don't want to be carrying around a gun. But I do carry a little blade just in case I have to deliver somebody. And that first somebody would be, you know. But I was reading this morning, five people were attacked by a dog in Oakton, by dogs, plural. Some of them were police officers. And they didn't name the dogs. They just said these people were all bitten, non-life-threatening injuries, but they were all attacked by a number of dogs. And I think that's why I carry just a little knife, that in case I had to do something, I will be prepared. But it's not to assault someone. Dear God, I couldn't. That would be, oh no, dear Lord. Jesus said this: you have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate and love your neighbor and hate your love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you. Verse 45, then he says, here's the motivation for his teaching, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. I'll give you another one. I shared this a few weeks ago. The other day I was at the Exxon gasoline station. In 2006, I hired a man to come work for me. He was shortly out of prison in a halfway house. I thought I'd give him a chance. And in 2006, I hired him, bought new equipment so that I could, put another truck and he could go and clean. Well, long story short, this man stole $7,000 of equipment from me and left my truck down in Arlington and just played it off like, hey, no big deal. Well, I'm in Giant a few weeks ago. And who do I turn around? Who's standing right next to me? This guy. Yeah. And I just turn around, and when I saw him, I said, hey, man, what's up? He's like, hey, how you doing? Let me get your number and everything. I'm like, yeah, right. But I was glad. This is what I was glad of. I felt no animosity because I had let it go. I had forgiven him, and I let it go. And when I saw him, I wasn't about, hey, me and you got a score to settle. No, it wasn't anything like that. I was like, Lord Jesus, that was, 2006, and that's water underneath the bridge, and I got a life to live, and I can't let that poison me, right? So I forgave him years ago, but I was glad to see, and why did I run into him? Sometimes the Lord bring people in your life to show you where you are at. Where are you? Well, you're going to find out when you run up on somebody and they get you in some kind of way. It exposes what's going on the inside of you. So Jesus said that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. And we see this every day. Every day I wake up and I say, Father, you're so good. You care for all the world every day. The atheists, the agnostics, the vile. You wake them up every day just like you wake me up. Truly, the Lord is good to all. His tender mercies are over all the works of his hands. Psalm 145. So Jesus says that our Father causes his Son to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even tax collectors the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So the foundation and motivations for Jesus' teaching was the Father. Was his Father. So has God changed? He doesn't change. Malachi 3:6. He still causes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and rain to fall on the just and the unjust today, just like he did then. Why is that important? Well, it's important because if you remember, we used to be the wicked, the unjust, the evil. That used to be us. But because somebody prayed for us, but because of the mercy and the grace of God that God shed on us, God saved us and redeemed us from our sin. So Jesus said, pray for those people who treat you the wrong way. Bless those who curse you. Why? Because God is in the process with some of them wanting to save them. So we're to have the heart of our Father who is in heaven, Jesus said. Matthew 6, verse 1, Jesus said, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. So in Jesus' day, Jesus knew the hearts of men. And there were people who would, even when he was watching people put their gifts into the treasury, he noticed the widow putting in, but he also saw the rich. And money was coins back then. When people put a whole bunch of coins in, you'd know it. Clink, 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 clink. People be looking around. What on earth? Jesus said, don't do your works like that to be seen by men. It reminded me of, I'm not saying he did it, that he did it for the purpose of being seen, but there's a video of Tyler Perry at the Father's house, and he's given a donation to T.D. Jakes. And he turns around and he says to T.D., he says, you know, the Lord told me, make it $1 million, to give $1 million. And the people went wild. And I thought to myself, careful. You may have just received your reward. You may have just received your reward. Some churches you've been in, I've been in them, the stained glass windows had a person's name on it who gave the money. The pew has a person's name who gave the money. I'm like, dear heavens, wait a second, y'all, what we doing here? You give to the radio station, they mention your name. Justin gave $5,000. Justin said, that's the other Justin. That's not me. And but the radio station put out the name of the person who gave the money. Recognition, and, you know, telethons, all these thons, they mention your name. And Jesus said, no, that's not necessary. Don't do it to receive glory or the recognition of men. Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be done, may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Yeah. Our Father sees it all, and he rewards it all, according to the teaching of Jesus. No one but Jesus noticed when the widow gave two mites. Jesus said he gave all that she had, all that she had. And oh, by the way, when we give, Jesus said this. He said the rich gave out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty. She gave all that she had. But Jesus said in Luke, he said this, she gave more than they all. Wait a second. The rich gave more than she did. Jesus, how can you say she gave more than they all? Because Jesus said they gave out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty. What matters when we give is not how much we give, but out of how much, out of what we have do we give. See, we want to make it all about, oh, this person gave all of this money. Tyler Perry's a billionaire. He gave $1 million. You know what that's like? Two mites. That's like, yeah, here's a quarter. I'm not trying to beat him down. I'm just talking about if we, you know, comparing apples to apples, right? For comparison's sake. Then in Matthew chapter 6, further down, Jesus said, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. Jesus lived in a day, a terribly religious, hypocritical religious day, when people were giving to be seen, when people were fasting to be seen, when people were praying to be seen. Just imagine, just in the scriptures that we're covering today, yet Jesus came and revealed the heart of the Father to his disciples and said, but this is how you're going to live. Why? Because your Father is merciful. He's kind. Because your Father sees. When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners. They may be seen by men. There it is again, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So prayer is between us and God. And because it's between you and your Father, it ought not happen on the street corner, right? It should be done in private. That's not to say that public prayer doesn't have a place. It does. But public prayer is always built or flows out of private prayer. Always flows out of private prayer. It comes after and is built upon private prayer. And I close with what we know so well, the Lord's Prayer. Because Jesus said to his disciples, also, he says, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. And I'm sure all of us have prayed this prayer at one point or another in our life. Help. or we've prayed this prayer. Jesus. Amen. Now the world takes his name in vain. Oh, you can't even watch a movie without, you can't watch politics. I can't listen to anything. For somebody takes my Lord's name in vain. But I tell you, when I was falling, get ready to hit my head on this big old pole, walking up in this person's house, had misjudged how high a step was. And I was headed, I can see that pole right now. I was headed for that pole and I said, Jesus. And something pushed me to the side. And my shoulder hit the pole and not this big old head of mine. And I give God thanks to this day because I'm always hitting this thing on something. Yes, indeed. But that would have been really bad. Where I was falling, that would have been really. All I had, the only prayer I had time to pray was Jesus. You say, well, what type of prayer is that? He knows. He knows. Help me, Lord. Help me. Amen. So Jesus said, therefore, you do not be like them. In other words, we don't have to use a lot of words. I know when we do corporate prayer, you know, people, you know, sometimes you pray for people when I'm out in the marketplace and pray for one of my customers or whatever. They say, well, you sure do know how to pray. I said, no, I ain't not knowing how to pray. There's no place in the Bible that says know how to pray. No place in the Bible says know how to pray. Anybody find it, let me know. But what does it say? It says pray. It says pray. You say, well, how do you learn how to pray? I say, get in a tight situation and you'll learn how to pray. Get in the right circumstance. And that, what they say, that there are no atheists in foxholes. Look, everybody in foxhole pray. Them bullets be flying over your head. Say, oh, God help me. God help me. No, you will learn how to pray. You will learn how to pray. There's no class. What did Creflo Dollar call it? The school of neology. Neology. You go down on your knees. You learn a lot when you go down on your knees, right? So you learn how to pray. So Jesus said, don't be like them using all these many words. Why? For your Father knows the things you have need of. You see that? So when I was heading toward that pole and I said, Jesus, he knew exactly what I needed. And I tell you, to this day, I don't know what, at least put this way, I couldn't see what, but I got an idea what or who pushed me over to the right and my left shoulder took. Ah, yes, indeed. So we give thanks and praise. He knows what we have need of before we ask him. So Jesus said, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, in other words, know and address him for who he is. Remember, Jesus is teaching his disciples and he's talking to them about prayer. No rabbi addressed God as Father. No rabbi. Jesus did. That was one of the reasons why they killed him. He said, pray, our Father, know and address him for who he is. And he was telling them and demonstrating and showing them the Father repeatedly. Right? Then he goes on, hallowed be thy name. In other words, recognize the holiness of his authority. The name carried with it authority. If you went in someone's name and you mentioned there, I'm here in the name of people. Okay. Remember, Jesus did it with the when they needed the colt. And he told his disciples, go into the city, you'll see a man carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house. When he gets into the house, ask the headmaster, tell the headmaster, give me that room that I have need of. He asked that, he did it with that, and they told him they did it. But also when they went to go get the colt, they were untying the colt. And the people said, what are you doing untying the colt? He said, the Lord has need of him. They said, okay, go ahead. He said, go ahead. The authority of his name. Then he said, pray this, your kingdom come. In other words, seek first his kingdom, not our own. Seek first his kingdom. Your will be done. Amen. Notice he didn't say anything about my will or your will. He said, pray your will be done. What does that mean? His will is preeminent over every other will on the planet. Therefore, we pray, your will be done this day, O God, in us, in the earth, in our marriages, in our homes, in our families. Your will be done. He goes further, on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, pray that earth will be conformed to the will of God as heaven is, as his will is being decreed and carried out in heaven. Pray that it will happen on earth, because literally all of the prayers that we've been praying over all these years, one day it's going to be. This earth is going to be transformed, and everything we prayed in God's will be done here is literally going to come to pass. Amen. Give us this day our daily bread. Recognize that all we need comes from his hand. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. That's what it means, right? And forgive us our debts. Recognize daily our need for forgiveness. Recognize daily our need for forgiveness as we forgive our debtors. In other words, we cannot ask for ourselves what we are unwilling to extend to others. So as we ask for forgiveness, we then extend forgiveness. Jesus goes on in verse 13. He says, and do not lead us into temptation. Understand this, that without him, we will fail. Without him, we will fail at every temptation. Jesus, help us. But deliver us from the evil one. Recognize that he is our strength and our deliverer. David prayed to the Lord, I believe it's in Psalm 18 or 1 Chronicles 22. He said, I thank you that you delivered me from my enemy who was too strong for me. That's what David said. Saul was a king. You do understand that if it were not for God, Saul would have murdered David. Saul was too strong for David. But repeatedly, the Lord would deliver David from his hand. And David recognized that God is my refuge and my strength. God is my deliverer, my portion. Come on. Right. And so we pray, deliver us from the evil one. And we've got 1 John 4:4 that says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Why? Because God has taken up residence within us. And then he closes with, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And we take from that Psalm 115. I believe it starts out this way. Not unto us, but unto your name be glory and honor and thanks. Not unto us, but unto him. Why? Because of all that he's done for us, delivering us from our enemy, giving us strength in the time of temptation, forgiving us of all of our sins, putting food on the table, clothes on our back, shelter over our heads. He's been doing this all our lives long, and he does not change.
Hey, who worry about retirement? I'm telling you right now, stop worrying. Who brought you out the womb? God, I'm preaching to myself. Hey, look here. I'm going to retire in a few years. Who brought you out the womb, son? You did, Father. Yeah, who going to keep you to the end? You are, Father. He said, that's right. Now, it's over with. You want to talk about God taking care of somebody? Talk to this man over here. If you ever get discouraged, say, can God do it? I don't know if he's going to do it. Talk to him. Talk to him. You have to write a book. God is faithful. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you, O God, for this Father's Day. And we thank you, Lord, that you are our Father who art in heaven. And Lord, we thank you with all of our hearts that we get to call you Father because your Son came and redeemed us according to your will. And made us your very own children, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You filled us with your Holy Spirit, the Spirit that bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. Lord, we worship you. Father, we adore you. Father, we thank you, O God, for that which you have started in us, Lord, that you fully intend to complete until the day of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that your word would have free course in our hearts and our lives, Lord, that we might continually be transformed into your image and into your likeness for the glory of your great name. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. And everyone said amen. 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 God bless you.